Good morning. It's nice to see you. I know I've met some of you before. Thank you for coming. Today's workshop is going to be on depression. We've talked before about marriages and personal development and different things like that. The first hour this morning is going to be some of the basic stuff that we've talked about in some of the other workshops that we have done. You've heard me before talk about how my practice is based on two principles. The first principle is freedom, or free agency, or agency, or any term you want to use, and the other one is love. And I will suggest to you that those two principles are interrelated. Now, there was a man by the name of Sigmund Freud, you've heard of, I'm sure, who said that the basic motivators of all mankind are sex and aggression. Most people have thrown him out the window. They say that it was a little bit more than that. It wasn't that simple. I tend to think he was onto something with this, but instead of sex, I call it cup filling, or nurturance, or validation, or self-esteem. That our cup filling is one of the major issues that motivates us. Next to that, instead of aggression, I call it agency, or the capacity to steer one's own life, to be free. The kind of work that I do is what we refer to as Ericksonian metaphorical cognitive unconscious work. It's a big long phrase. It basically means I get paid for telling stories. Some of you probably remember that my mother still is surprised that I'm now getting paid for telling the stories that she used to be angry with me about. These stories hopefully though have some significance and a meaning to them. Most of the stories that I tell are not my stories. They're the stories that I've listened to for the last 21 years in private practice and for the years before that that I did child protection in working with people and their pain. Metaphorical work leaves us our free will. I won't be telling you what to do today. And a lot of times people say, excuse me, I'm paying the money. I want you to tell me what to do. I won't do that. But I will tell you some stories that other people have used, other instances, other experiences, where they have used that story or created that story and it's been a helpful map for them. Again, the wonderful thing about metaphor is nobody's really telling anybody what to do. You're going to be steering your own life in this journey. The first metaphor, and we're going to jump right into it today, is one that anyone who knows me, if you've ever been in my office, if you've ever talked to me, everyone I see, I have do this little metaphor. This is as unconscious as we're going to get, by the way, today. What I'd like you all to do for just a moment is I'd like you to picture a steering wheel. A steering wheel out of your car, okay? Now, as you look at that steering wheel, Leslie, what color is your steering wheel?
Brown.
Brown, okay. Marcy, what color is your steering wheel?
Gray.
Gray, okay. Marcy, another Marcy. What color is your steering wheel?
Maroon.
Maroon? Okay, it doesn't matter what color it is, but I ask the color because oftentimes when we have to focus on the color, it directs our attention to that. Okay? So I want you now to look at that steering wheel for a minute, whatever color it is. And now we're going to pretend that this steering wheel that you're looking at is the steering wheel of your life. Okay? And I'd like you now to put everybody and anybody that has ever put their hand on that steering wheel, put their hands on it right now. I want you to put your mom's hands on it. I want you to put your dad's hands on it. I want you to put history's hands on it. Put your spouse's hands on it. Put your boss's hands on it. Put economic hands on the steering wheel of that life. Put old history that you wish you could forget. Sometimes those things grab onto the steering wheel of our life. This steering wheel that you're looking at now is the steering wheel of your life. This is the steering wheel that's going to take you through the rest of your life. Now, as you look at that steering wheel, are there very many hands on the steering wheel? Some people don't have any. Some people have a lot. Now, what we're going to do is I'd like you to grab hold of this steering wheel with your left hand. And with your right hand, I want you to start plucking all of the other hands off. Just pull them off. Set those who you love, those who you want to keep, you can put them in the seat next to you, strap them in with a seat belt. But take them off the steering wheel of your life. I want you to take your mom's hands off, I want you to take your dad's hands off, I want you to take everybody that has ever grabbed onto the steering wheel, I want their hands off. I even want you to take your Father in heaven's hands, your God's, your supreme beings. Take his hands off the steering wheel. Set him in the seat next to you. Now imagine for a moment what it's like to be steering your own life. Get a good grip on the steering wheel at the 10 and the 2 o'clock position. Nobody else steering. You're steering. No one else. How does that feel? Merlin, how's that feel? Is that a good feeling? It's a little scary? Okay. Jody, how's that feel?
Good.
It's a good feeling. Anybody frightened? A little nervous? A little uncomfortable, Merlin says. My practice is based upon this silly little steering wheel. I will tell you the reason I see people in my office for depression is they are not steering their lives. Somebody else is steering their lives. Old history is still affecting and grabbing on to the steering wheel of their life in numerous ways. It can be something that happened when they were a child that created a lens through which they now view the world. All of us have these kinds of history that grab on to the steering wheel of our life. There's a lot of reasons it's difficult to take the hands on. Put all the hands back on now. Okay? Put them all back on the steering wheel. Put all those 10, 50, 100 hands back on the steering wheel. That's your life. How does that feel now, Merlin? You like it better that way?
No?
You like it better? Even though it's a little frightening, it's better to take the hands off, huh? How about you, Jody? You like the hands on or hands off? Hands off. Learning to steer our own lives, taking everybody's hands off the steering wheel of our life, and living the life that we choose is what my practice is all about. In my work, we talk about how if I take the hands off the steering wheel, will I offend somebody? If I tell my mother, Mom, I'm not going to let you steer my life anymore. I'm going to steer it myself. Will that offend her? Will she be upset or hurt or angry or feel that she's losing you? And what I tell people is, if I don't do this, your mother will lose you because you will pull away. How many of you in your attempt to get free have pulled miles away from that parent, that spouse, that child? But if you can truly get free internally and know, I'm not going to let what she, what he does mess with me anymore, I can now love her or love him. The freedom that I'm talking about this morning to you is internal freedom, not external. I see people, I'm seeing a physician right now. He moved from Ohio to come out here to get free from the controls of his parents. And he says, I'm still not free. I said, you externally got free. How many people do we see? We get divorces to get externally free. And they never got free internally. We're going to talk about in a minute why it's so difficult to get free internally. There are lots of reasons why I don't want to take the hands off the steering wheel. If I take the hands off the steering wheel and Donna, I get in a wreck, whose fault is it? It's mine. But as long as I keep somebody else's hands on the steering wheel and then I mess up, I can blame somebody else. I'm an old beer drinker. I'd go out for a couple of day binge. I'd come home. My wife would say, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I'm leaving you. You keep doing this. I'm out of here. And all I'd have to say is, I was wandering through Salt Lake Cemetery last night at 2 a.m. looking for my mother's grave. My mother died when I was 8. Oh, she gonna give me a break? You bet she does. She's got a big heart. She doesn't want to hurt. Do I want to now dispense with my mother's death that occurred back when I was 8 years of age? Look at the power it gives me. That's one I want to keep glued on, because if I take it off and then I go out on a 3-day binge, who's responsible for that? Whoo! I don't want to have that kind of responsibility. But the amazing thing is, if I don't take responsibility for my life, I will not get the pain. Now, I hope you noticed the way I said that. If I don't take responsibility and start steering my own life, I won't get the pain. Well, we don't want the pain. Oh, but we do. I'm going to suggest to you today that every bit of pain that we ever experience comes with an incredible gift. And that gift is the gift of wisdom. And if you shuck your pain, no, I don't want to deal with that. I'm going to run away. I'm going to blame him. I'm going to glue somebody else's hands on the steering wheel and blame them for it, or this or that, or this or that. I will never get the pain. And if I never feel that pain, or if I only feel 80% of the pain, I only get 80% of the learning. When people ask me, what is therapy? I say, it's turning pain to wisdom. That's all we're going to do. Some of you today, hopefully when you leave today, will recognize that the depression that you have felt or that you've seen other people, you may one day be thankful for, because it's going to create in you a depth, a wisdom, a sensitivity, an understanding that you may not have had before had you not gone through the stuff that you're going through. But too often, because our pain is so great, we try to dodge it. We try to put it someplace else. As I said, if I take everybody's hands off the steering, if I take my mother's hands off the steering wheel, she may be offended. She may be angry at me. So certainly, I better not do that. I better let her put her hands on my steering wheel, and I'll suffer so she can feel good about that I'm still there for her. Wrong. Mom's going to have to learn to steer her life. Dad's going to have to learn to steer his life. Now, I recognize some of you are still living in your home of origin. I will suggest to you, you can never get free while you're still living in your home of origin completely. You can do it internally. But in my house, you got to follow my rules. So that's one of the reasons it's difficult. I don't want to offend someone. Another reason is I don't want to have to be responsible for the wrecks that I get in. I want to be able to blame somebody else or something else for what's going on in my life. I don't want this much responsibility. I like being able to blame somebody else. In my office daily, I have people will say to me, Craig, there's one set of hands I want to put on the top of the steering wheel. I want his hands with a capital H, whatever your supreme being may be. God, Father in heaven. I want him steering. Now, remember, this is a metaphor, and you can interpret it any way you want, and therefore I get to interpret it my way also. This is only my interpretation, and you may disagree with it. Being an alcoholic and coming from an old bunch of crazy times and finding God again, when I first came back, I so wanted him to steer. Then it was almost as if he said to me, Craig, I put a map in the glove box, and I'm a phone call away. I want you to call me 7 or 8 times a day. I'll give you directions, and I want to hear how you're doing on the trip, but I am not going to steer it for you. That's what I sent you down there to do. You got to learn to steer it yourself, son. I put people down there to help you. I'll put road signs all along the way, but I'm not steering it. I will assist you. I will love you. I will give you direction. But if I steer it for you, I rob you of what I sent you down there to do, and that's to learn to steer it yourself. That's the steering wheel of life. All of us have one. Sometimes we want our spouse to steer for us. There have been people in my office who started to steer when they were 19, 20 years of age, and they got in a big wreck. So they said, I'm not steering anymore. And they handed their steering wheel to their parent or to their spouse. And then they sit in the back seat and tell their spouse, you're steering it all wrong, but are unwilling to reach up and grab hold of their own steering wheel of life. Each of us must steer our own. And if we don't, the byproduct then is not love. It's depression. It's anxiety. What I call purple. It's pathology. It's psychopathology when we're not free.